You can open your Bibles to Psalm 33, verse 1. I struggled a bit to know really what to do tonight. Because Brother Doug actually preached my sermon this morning. But I don't believe that he erred. And I don't think I did either. So here we go. We will continue the thoughts that we had started last Sunday concerning the garment of praise. And I had given, those of you that write the references down, I had given a wrong reference, I believe, last Sunday with this psalm. So I want to go back to it just briefly. Psalm 33, verse 1. I don't remember what reference I gave, but it was wrong. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Our theme here is putting on the garment of praise, and that is in exchange for the spirit of heaviness. As we mentioned before, the phrase means praise is becoming or appropriate. Praise is appropriate. Praise glorifies the Lord, and praise is what makes you and I beautiful as children of God. A grumbling child of God is not a good example of what a child of God is and what a child of God is all about. Now let's turn to Psalm 7 and verse 17. No doubt I will touch on some of the same phases of praise as Brother Doug did this morning. His approach was a bit different, but still the same subject of praise and how important it is in the life of the child of God and how privileged we are to be able to praise God. Psalm 17 and verse 17, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Our praise is not arbitrary. That is, if we understand the Word of God, once again, I'm just going to kind of rephrase some things that Brother Doug said this morning. But we don't praise just to have something to do. Here, the praise is given according to his righteousness. According to his righteousness. And I often wonder, sometimes when I hear God's people praise the Lord, if they really understand what they're praising the Lord for, what it is all about. The more that we understand God's righteousness, the more we will praise him. We've already seen that we have been given the robe of righteousness. Do we understand what that means? That understanding in and of itself causes us to praise him. That means that we have the same righteousness as the divine Son of God. We are accepted in the Beloved. We are accepted in all the righteousness and purity of the spotless Lamb of God. And every time that we think of that, that should cause us to praise the Lord. My dad used to tell the story of a man who was all the time praising the Lord. Not in the sense that Doug mentioned this morning. This man really had something to praise God about. And he was an elderly saint, and he lived with his daughter. And I don't remember whether the daughter was not saved, or at least she didn't appreciate all the praise. And so they thought, how can we get this man, well, my father, how can we get him to kind of cool it a little bit, you know, just not praise God so much? And, of course, he was all the time reading his Bible, and if you read your Bible, you're going to start praising the Lord. So they thought, well, we'll give him a copy of the National Geographic. I don't know how many of you praise God when you're reading the National Geographic or not. But there he was. He was in the living room, thumbing through the National Geographic, reading some articles, and sure enough, all of a sudden, he began to praise the Lord. And the daughter said, what in the world would he find in the National Geographic to cause him to praise the Lord? He happened to be reading an article about how deep the sea was. It's giving some scientific facts of how deep the sea was, and he realized, my sins are buried in the depths of the sea. And that caused him to begin to praise the Lord. I will just emphasize what Doug said this morning about praising the Lord at all times. My approach is through the garment of praise, looking at it as a piece of clothing. It is an all-weather garment. That's what I wanted to say. It is an all-weather garment. You can wear it when the sun shines, and you can wear it when it rains, when it snows. You can wear it when you have all kinds of blessings falling upon you. I think you praise God when God blesses you, don't you? Surely you at least praise the Lord that much. When the Lord blesses you, you praise the Lord. But how about when the Lord doesn't seem to be blessing? We should still praise the Lord. Praise should never be forced. Brother Doug mentioned this morning a sort of a pet peeve of his. I will mention mine. I share his, but I have another one. And that's when the preacher is preaching and the people don't seem to be responding, just sitting there. And so he, let's praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord? I thought I'd at least get a response out of Ryan. But I didn't. And that's good. Praise comes from within. Now, I don't want to get into my personality, but when somebody tells me to praise the Lord, I clam up. I don't praise the Lord because somebody says praise the Lord. I praise the Lord because there's something within me that sort of wells up. And if I don't let it out, it just seems to get stuck there. Praise comes from within. Praise comes when we realize what it is that God has done for us, to us, and what He's doing with us. That's where praise comes from. It doesn't come from a well-structured statement. If that was the case, you'd never say, praise the Lord while I'm preaching. But once in a while, some people do. Because somehow the word touches their heart. My response to the question, can you say praise the Lord? Is, well, yes, I can. Yes, I can say praise the Lord. You preach the truth, and I can't help but praise the Lord. If you fill my soul with the truth, then I become so full of praise that it must come out somehow. Yeah, so if you want me to praise the Lord, preach the truth. And I think most of you feel the same way that I do. David writes in Psalm 31, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul exhorts us to give thanks in everything. Not only there, there's our other reference that we could look at. But he says to give thanks in everything. And giving thanks is simply another form of praise. Now, I want to go back to our original reference and compare the two garments that are mentioned in that reference. The garment, or the spirit, rather, of heaviness. And God offers the garment of praise. The spirit of heaviness, that which is cumbersome. And we'll look at it as a garment, as a piece of clothing. We'll look at it as exchanging one for the other. Heavy clothing is a hindrance. I don't know your thoughts, your feelings about winter, But personally, I don't like winter, not just because it's cold, but because I have to wear long sleeve shirts and put on a heavy coat, especially if I go outside. You're just all bundled up, and you see, especially little kids, you know, you bundle them up and button them up, and they're just, you know, they're kind of like this. They can't hardly walk because they're so bundled up. Well, to me, that's the garment or the spirit of heaviness. According to one dictionary, the word heaviness here means, well, it says the general idea of the word is of being weak or ineffective. The cognate in Arabic means to be weak or to grow disheartened. To grow disheartened. Now, the garment of praise is light. The garment of praise is light. If you truly praise the Lord from the inside, from the heart, from where the praise must come, in spite of your situation, there is a lightness there. The garment of praise is light. And just think of the difference between an old heavy woolen coat. We don't use these kind of garments much anymore, but how many of you remember what they call the pea coat, P-E-A coat? Anybody remember the pea coat? Yeah, I'm sure he would. He should have had one. It was a short, warm, double-breasted coat of heavy wool worn especially by sailors. That's the old pea coat, and they were heavy. They were warm, but heavy. Now, you know, you realize what kind of materials we have nowadays. You can be warm, but with something light on, with something light. Now, you don't have to use an old heavy wool coat to keep warm anymore, and that's great. That's, again, what are these good old days we speak about? Not so. I remember that when I first started going with Sharon, she had a heavy old red wool coat, and she had it for good, I don't know how long. She said 20 years, and I think at least 20 years. Thing doesn't wear out, but sort of uncomfortable. It's kind of hard to be a real gentleman, you know, getting that heavy old wool coat on her. So anyway, she had to put her own coat on most of the time. How different is our clothing nowadays? It's lighter. We have lighter clothing. And that's the offer that God is making here in our reference in Isaiah 61. He's making a change. He wants to change that, the spirit of heaviness. And how often the spirit of heaviness comes over us. We just want to look at a few things that may cause the heavy spirit. The spirit of heaviness can be caused by so many things and situations and so quickly and so easily. Unjudged sin can cause heaviness. We'll just begin there. Unjudged sin can cause heaviness. Sin is heavy. If you'll look through the Word of God from cover to cover, it's very evident that sin is described as being heavy. It weighs heavy upon the human soul. The difficult and unavoidable contrary circumstances and hardships of life can also cause heaviness. Disappointment and loss can also cause heaviness. Heaviness is never very far away from us. Let's turn to Ezra 9. And read verse 5, and I'm going to read here from the King James instead of the New King James. Ezra chapter 5, chapter 9 and verse 5. It's a very common circumstance, very common situation. Ezra had reason to be heavy here or to have a heavy heart. And at the evening sacrifice, I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. Here he speaks of being under heaviness. I rose from my heaviness. Now, we don't have time to go into a lot of detail here, but basically the reason in this case for Ezra's heaviness was the lack of separation among God's people, among Israel. Israel had not separated themselves as they should have. They were taking wives from other nations. And this was a heaviness to Ezra. We can become discouraged by others' sins. If we can suppose that None of us here have any sins of our own. We know that we live in a world that is full of sin on every side. And even among God's people, sometimes as we see the situation, as we see the condition, it is a heaviness. We become discouraged by other sin and lack of true dedication. But praise the Lord, in spite of others' failures and lukewarmness, I can, by the grace of God, rise up and go on in victory. Now, that doesn't mean that I take lightly the sins of others, because those sins have their repercussions. They have their results that they bring. And yes, it does bring heaviness. But thank God there is victory. He offers us the robe or the garment of praise. Psalm 69 and verse 20 presents another situation that causes heaviness. Psalm 69 and verse 20. The psalmist says, "Reproach has broken my heart. I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none." The cause of heaviness in this case was reproach. He had been reproached. "Reproach has broken my heart, and I'm full of heaviness." The ill treatment, criticism, and misunderstanding of others can also be a cause to us of great heaviness. And once again, none of us are exempt from this type of situation. As you go through life, you will on occasion be ill-treated. You will be criticized. You'll be misunderstood. And that causes us great heaviness. But there is the offer of the garment of praise. Proverbs 12, verse 25. Once again, reading from the King James Version in this case. Proverbs 12 and verse 25. "Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it to stoop, but a good word maketh it glad." It's a well-known fact, I believe, that when we're not feeling good, when we do kind of have this heavy feeling of whatever it might be, even in our natural appearance, we're just kind of, you know, the shoulders just kind of droop, you know. You can kind of tell sometimes. I remember Gordon especially. Some of you know Gordon now. He really does exist. And I remember when, as a small boy, that especially when he was sick, he was the saddest thing. He would just, you know, I can't explain it or copy it. And so it is. That's a natural reaction. Our very countenance sometimes shows the heaviness that we feel. And sometimes it's unavoidable. And it is a weight upon us. Whatever the cause, whatever the reason might be. It's like that heavy old wool coat again when you put it on. But God offers the garment of praise. Psalm 119, verse 28. I'm sure that David had many, many of these experiences in his life. And yet we mentioned before how often the word praise appears, or praise, or praised, or praising appears in the Psalms. Yes, he tells us of his everyday conflicts, of the everyday experiences that he had, and they were sad many times. As we see here in this particular verse, Psalm 119, verse 28, "My soul melteth for heaviness." My soul melteth for heaviness. But at that moment, at that same moment that he was feeling this, it literally means to weep or to pour out. To weep or to pour out. My soul melts itself away. But even at that very moment, at that same time, he could say, "Strengthen thou me according to thy word." He had, in this phrase, that's a praise unto the Lord. Even as his soul was melting within him, he could still praise the Lord. Not a whole lot, excuse me, not a whole lot of God's people have learned this secret. To be able to praise the Lord in the most adverse circumstances. And I'm not talking about the phony praise that Doug mentioned this morning that kind of irritates him, and I don't blame him. But I'm talking about a real praise. And sometimes when it happens, we wonder, what is that all about? Here I'm in this situation. This is my situation. It has not changed. And yet, a praise wells up within me because of the life of Christ that we have. That life is never in heaviness. That life is never defeated. That life knows no defeat. That life is only and ever a life of praise. Aren't you glad this morning that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, and once again I'll read out of the King James Version. 1 Peter 1 and verse 6. In case you weren't aware that these situations are inevitable, I'll read you a scripture that will show you that it's going to happen. They're going to come. Peter states it this way, 1 Peter 1, 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice. That's praising the Lord. If you're rejoicing, you're praising the Lord. Though now for a season, if need be, and it does need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or manifold testings, manifold hardships, heartaches, and other unpleasant experiences of life. And yet Peter says, you rejoice greatly. Let's turn to the Old Testament, to 2 Chronicles 20. I'll leave out my example of Paul and Silas. But let's go to the Old Testament, where we have perhaps one of the best examples of the power of praise in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This was an experience of Israel, but there's much for us to learn from their experience here. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1, it happened after this that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. That's quite a few people, by the way. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Assyria. Good news, huh? And they were in Hazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. He didn't fear and run away. He feared, and that fear caused him to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Now I want to skip down to verse 13, and then we'll go on from here. But I don't want to pass over this verse. To me, it's very precious. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, their children, stood before the Lord. We'll go on to see how they won the battle by praise. Praise is for every child of God. And I'm impressed that it mentions here that they stood with their little ones, and then later on it mentions their children and also their wives. In other words, as a family, they gathered together, each family together with their little ones, their wives, their children, and they stood before the Lord. What a privilege you and I have as children of God to make these things that we speak of a reality. We are not preaching theory, whether it be a theological or other. It's not theory. It's what God wants us to put into practice day after day. Christianity is not a religion that we practice. It's a life that we live, the life of Christ within us. And that life must permeate every part of who we are. Mother, father, children, or anyone else. What a privilege. All of Judah with their little ones, their wives, their children stood before the Lord. I'm always impressed with those families that will take the effort, because it takes effort, to gather their children up, to prepare them, to dress them, to do whatever it takes to get them ready, to be where they can hear the word of God, and they make them sit in the seat and listen. They may be coloring in a color book. That's okay. Because the ears of their heart are open. They are receiving from the Lord. What a privilege to make this thing a reality. In all that we do and all that we are. I remember many, many times when the kids were little that we gathered together in this way for many reasons. As I was making these notes, came to my mind when we were in Texas preparing for the mission field to learn Spanish and go to Paraguay. And then the kids were, I don't know, 8, 9, 10. No, they weren't 10. They were 8. 8 less. Maybe 3, 4, or 5. Anyway, they were small. But Sharon got sick, and she actually had walking pneumonia. And then we didn't have an insurance policy, didn't have any insurance at all, didn't have a doctor to go to, didn't have any money to do it anyway. But I remember that the four kids and I gathered together, and we prayed for Sharon. And we praised God. They were just small, and sometimes you think, well, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what it's all about. But remember that the same Christ that dwells in your heart dwells in their heart. They may be small. They may not understand all that's going on. But it's still the same Christ. It's still the same Holy Spirit that works in their lives as well as yours. Well, let's go on in our chapter here, 2 Chronicles 20, and read from verse 18. I know that you've heard this story. You know it by heart. I hope you do anyway. And I hope it means something to you, to your life, to your individual situation. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah with the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. They weren't complaining. They weren't grumbling. They weren't saying, oh, why me? They were worshiping the Lord when there was nothing to worship the Lord for. There was a great multitude of people coming that had one thing in mind, that was to destroy them. And yet they worshiped the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. There are many, many, many ways to praise the Lord. You can praise the Lord silently. Your thoughts should be a continual praise unto the Lord. But then there are times when we do, as Israel did here. They stood, and with voices loud and high, they praised the Lord God of Israel. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them, and when they had made an end the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Going back to verse 21, what were they to praise? As I said before, our praise has an origin. It has an object. We do not just praise arbitrarily. Praise the Lord, for his mercies endure forever. He had consulted with the people. He appointed those who should sing to the Lord, who should praise the beauty of holiness. Who should praise the beauty of holiness. What do we praise? Have you seen the beauty of the Lord? Do you understand the beauty of the Lord? Does the beauty of the Lord engulf you? Does it mesmerize you, as it were? It should. They praise the beauty of holiness. It will cause us to praise the Lord as we understand his beauty, the spiritual beauty of our Lord. Paul prayed for the Ephesians that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. And I believe that you and I should pray the same way. I think we kind of save that that verse and that thought for people who just don't see like we do. Lord, open the eyes of their understanding. I want my eyes to be opened. I want the eyes of my understanding to be open. I want your eyes to be open. I want the Lord to give us all a clearer vision of the one that we worship. Sometimes that vision dims. Sometimes because of the heaviness, sometimes our heads are bowed just a bit, and our vision isn't as focused. We can't see as clearly as what perhaps we ought to see. Let's turn and read Psalm 150, the last psalm. The psalms begin with praise. Praise is found throughout them, and it ends with this wonderful psalm. Psalm 150. And there is only one thing that we praise, and that is the Lord. We don't praise one another. We don't praise our organization, if we have one. We don't praise anything else. We praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. It would take us quite a while if we were to list one by one all of the things that we should praise the Lord for. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And then one more time, praise the Lord. Maybe you've had too many sermons on praising the Lord. I don't know. I seriously consider not giving this message. I don't know the work that the Lord is doing or wants to do in our midst. But I know He wants to do a work that He hasn't done yet, and because we're still here. So obviously there's something the Lord wants to do in our lives. Perhaps He wants to take, I know He wants to take, the spirit of heaviness for the garment of praise. Perhaps He wants us to understand in a deeper measure the importance of putting on and keeping on. As Brother Doug said, it's not going to fall out of the heavens on you. God offers it to you. It's yours. Put it on. Wear it humbly, but wear it with pride, because it is from the Lord. Let's stand and worship the Lord.